Hello again, it's myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth radio broadcast. It's great to talk to you again. It's great to have you here. Great to know that you're listening in. It's always lovely to hear from you as well. You can write to me at miles@milesmckee.com. I'd like to speak to you about joy in jail this morning. And I want to take as my text to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, don't you just love it? It's a wee letter. It's full of joy. There are 104 verses in the letter, and 18 of them have to do with or mention joy or rejoice. And it's a great wee book. Well, who wrote it, Brother Miles? Who was the writer? Oh. Well, what can I tell you about him? He was from a well-to-do family. He went to the best of schools, the best of education, sat under the best of the rabbi teachers. He was famous in his nation. His name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Saul was the Hebrew name. He probably had the two names, Saul and Paul. Paul was the Roman name. We know him as the Apostle Paul. He was a man who'd once hated Christ, and now he loved Christ, and he was suffering for Christ. And he was in jail because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we meet him, and he's here, sitting in jail, and he's in jail and able to be joyful. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Did you see that? Oh, yeah, it's essential to have joy. And there's nothing, almost nothing worse than a joyless Christian. I mean, if they cracked a smile, their face would break. They're just desperate. I can't take them. I've had them in churches moaning a bit this morning, moaning a bit that morning, moaning a bit, life's so bad. Here's Paul sitting in jail being joyful. Joyful. Let me warn you. Yeah, I'm going to warn you. What it says in Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 to 48. And I'll paraphrase this. Basically says if you're serving the Lord without joy, you're going to end up serving your enemies. Hello? Did you hear that? If you have no joyfulness, you'll end up serving your enemies. So here's the Apostle Paul, and he's joyful, joyful, even in jail. So what's the secret? Oh, go on, Paul, let us know what you, come on. Wouldn't, by the way, dear listener, wouldn't you like to know how he was able to be joyful all the time? Well, here's the first reason. The first reason is that he believed Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28, and we know, do you know that verse? And we know that all things, hey, by the way, and we know, do we know it? If you don't know it, and I know it, we don't know it. And if I don't know it, and you know it, we don't know it. But if I know, and you know, then we know. And here's what we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have fallen out rather onto the furtherance of the gospel. Wow. You mean I'm in jail? First of all, I'm in jail and God's going to work good out of it. Yeah. Paul says, I'm in jail, but it's worked for the furtherance of the gospel. It's wonderful. See, he understood what a lot of Christians don't understand. He understood that all things work together for good. Not for everybody and their granny. No, for those who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, Paul was walking in the will of God, and he's in jail, and he's hallelujah, and all over the place. He's filled with joy. I read an amusing story about that happened in the in the Second World War, World War II. And, you know, over in Great Britain, they used to get terrible air raids. The air raids were terrible. And in Belfast, some of the horrible Blitz was... The German aircrafts would come over, destroy the place and with bombs and whatever else. So there was a group of people caught in an air raid, and they weren't able to get to the air raid shelter. And so they took shelter in I can't think of it. You know, not an air raid shelter, but a bus shelter. That's right, a bus shelter. And the bombs are flying all around, and they're exploding all around. And there's a big Salvation Army officer. He's with the group, and he says to everybody, "Everybody, pray, pray, pray." So they all prayed, all except for one guy. The captain looked at him and said, "Pray, sir, pray, pray." And the wee man says, "I don't know any prayers." Now, says the Salvation Army guy, "You must know one. You must know one prayer." "Well, all right," said the wee man. So as the bombs are screaming overhead, the man bowed his head and said, "For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful." Oh dear, that's not the way Paul was. No, he knew the Lord was in charge. He knew the Lord was in control. He knew that he could be joyful. Oh wow. Now, it's interesting that he writes to the church at Philippi. Do you remember what happened, Paul, when he was at Philippi? He got thrown into jail for preaching. But the Lord miraculously got him out. Now here's Paul again in jail, but he's a prisoner. He's not getting released. And so maybe some people in the Philippian circle are saying, "Oh, not old Paul. Here he's in jail. Maybe he's past it." When he was a young man, he had an anointing, and he wouldn't have just stayed in jail for anything, but now he's stuck in jail. Maybe he's lost it. No. Paul says, "The things that have happened to me being in jail, is for the furtherance of the gospel. At Philippi, the Lord delivered him, and it resulted in souls being saved. And at Rome, the Lord kept him in jail, and it resulted in souls being saved." And so it doesn't matter what happens to us as long as souls are being won and the Lord's purposes extended. Romans 8:28, all things. We know, do we know? Do you know? Do I know? We know that all things work together for good. Look what he says in verse 13 and verse 14. He says, let me grab this Bible. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Everybody knows about it. Everybody knows that I'm in jail for preaching Christ. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Totally wonderful. Without fear. Speaking the word. They're speaking the word. And so Paul says the gospel is being furthered. It doesn't matter what happens as long as souls are being won. And from jail, he writes the prison epistles, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians. A lot of our Bible was born in jail. All things are working together. Maybe you're actually incarcerated and you're a believer. Well, let's believe that the gospel will go forward, the kingdom will advance while you're in there. Amen. "My chains are helping the gospel." Remember Onesimus? He was converted in jail. It's wonderful the things that can happen in jail. And what they did with Paul was they guarded him. A soldier was taken and handcuffed to him or chained to him and for 4 hours. So Paul had this guy for 4 hours. And so what did Paul do? He preached the gospel. He told him about how God became a man. That's a wonderful gospel truth, isn't it? How God lived for us and died for us and rose again for us. Oh, yeah, he was buried and he rose again and he ascended into heaven and he's coming back for us. It is wonderful. He will change our vile bodies. He is coming back. You can mark it down. I'll speak about that in a little moment. Oh, listen, knowing his sovereignty releases us to a place of joy. Do you understand that? Do you know anything of his sovereignty working in your life? Oh, may we all come to know and appreciate and believe and walk in Romans 8:28. Paul was able to be filled with joy. Why? I'll give you a second reason. He believed Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, which says, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah had come to an end of his rope. He could see no hope. He couldn't help himself. And he says, if ever I'm going to be saved, it's got to be God who saves me. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's why Paul's able to write in chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow, I'm confident that the Lord's going to finish the work that he started in me. God commenced the good work and God will continue the good work. Boy, if you believe that, that's going to bring you joy. You know, consider our situation. How are you going to get saved unless God intervenes? I mean, listen to me. The scripture says we were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. And so God had to bring us alive. So he started this whole salvation. He gave us repentance. He gave us himself. Oh, imagine, that's the greatest gift. He gave himself. Christ gave himself. He died for our sins. What a gift. He gave us repentance. He gave us faith. Everything is of grace. He gave. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. He gave. Christ Jesus is the giver. He's always been the giver. He gave his back to the smiters. He gave his face to those who plucked out his hair. He gave his head to be crowned with thorns. He gave his hands and feet to be pierced. He gave his side to be riven. He gave his robe to the soldiers. He gave his peace to the disciples and gave his spirit to God. Oh, but Brother McKee, he must have taken something. Something, yeah. Yes, he did. He took something. He took our sins. Oh, what a Savior. Salvation is of the Lord. If you know that, you'll have joy in all manner of situations. You'll have joy, a permanent fixture in your life. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, Philippians 2, verse 12. Have you got it there in your Bible? Philippians 2, verse 12. It says this, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We see, brother, you're wrong. You see, you're to work out your salvation. It's not a free gift. Oh. How much has this verse been understood? Work out your own salvation. Come to understand what's going on. He who started the work will finish and complete the work. It's all of grace. It's like the wee fella I heard a legalist preach on this subject, and he was trying to argue in his sermon that it wasn't, you're not saved by grace alone, you're saved by your efforts. And he asked the sensible question to his mother. He says, well, how can you work it out if you haven't got it in the first place? Yeah. Salvation. He brings us alive. He commands the darkness to go and the light to shine. The light is shining in the darkness. All of grace. Now work it out. Learn to live a life which is glorifying to God. Learn to live a life which is well-pleasing to God. Learn to deal with those thoughts, those terrible thoughts which are against God. Tear them down in the name of Jesus. That's how you learn to work out your salvation. That's only a little part of it. Yeah, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Look, it says this, for our conversation, that means citizenship, is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a marvelous little scripture? We are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, are you looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back? When it says he's the Lord, it means he's the Kyrios. That's the Greek word, the Kyrios, and that was the divine title. The word is terrible to be getting old. The divine title of the emperor. Men and women worshipped the emperor. They were told to worship him, and they worshipped the emperor was God. And I mean, who else are you going to worship? Only the most powerful man in the world. And when Paul wrote this letter, there was a fellow there who was the emperor. He was a fellow called Nero, and he's demanding worship. And we, on the other hand, Paul says we are to look for the Lord from heaven, the Lord, the Kyrios, the real Kyrios. The divine ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will complete the work. Hebrews 12, verse 2, that he is the author and the finisher of our work. And if we believe that he will finish the work, just as he says, then we'll have joy. We'll have joy. We'll have abundance of it. Another thing about Paul, he believed Philippians 2. Verse 9 to 11, Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, says this, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, who? Christ. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Kyrios! Oh, to the glory of God the Father. Oh man, if you believe that, you will have joy. Did you know that Christ and his Christianity are the wave of tomorrow? I know right now people laugh at you if you say that you're a believer in the gospel. If you believe that, they won't take your tracts. They reject you. A lot of times this happens. Oh, but it's not going to always be like that. The old country preacher says, look, he says, times are terrible, but I have read the back of the book and we win. Yes, we do. We win. It says so in the book. Now, Paul lived under the Roman order, but he was more conscious of a heavenly order. Did you know God is in charge? All right, look, I don't know. I don't know why things happen the way they happen. There are tragedies that happen. I don't know. I can't understand. I can't understand a lot of times why God allows things to happen. But that's not going to put me off, because he is God. He's demonstrated that he is God. He has risen from the dead. If you want to believe in God, believe in Jesus. As simple as that. Jesus said he was God. You don't believe me? John chapter 5, 7 times. He's proves equality with God. But look, I've written books on the subject, quite literally. And I'm not going to go into them all now. But if you want to believe in God, well, there's nothing to prove that God exists, Brother McKee. No, wait a minute. Jesus claimed to be God. Okay? He died on the cross, but death couldn't hold him because he was sinless. If he'd lied about being God, that would mean he would never have been resurrected. Because he would have been a sinner. If he was telling a lie, he would be a sinner. But Jesus told no lies. He was perfect. He was sinless. And he said he was God. Therefore, he was God. Which means, therefore, if he was God, there is a God. Hallelujah. Paul lived under the Roman order and he was in jail, but that's not going to be the new order. Jesus is in charge and he's coming back for his saints. And our citizenship is in heaven. We belong in heaven. Oh, yeah. You know, Nero, that was a dreaded name. That was a totally dreaded name. Yeah, Nero. Nero, he was the thundering emperor of mighty Rome. Well, listen, our citizenship is in heaven. That's right. Our citizenship is in heaven. Do you want to hear a wee verse? It says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Yeah, our citizenship is in heaven. And now what are we to do? We're to look for the Lord Jesus. We're to look for him. He's coming back. He really is. He's coming back. He's coming back. Yeah. Now listen to me. The Lord Jesus may be despised right now, but eventually there's coming a time where he's adored by millions. Nero was that name was a dreaded name back then, but now only dogs and budgies, canaries, are called Nero. The Lord Jesus was despised, but now he's adored, and he's got one day, every knee is going to bow. One day, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And the gospel is being furthered. It's been, look, I don't know how it's going to be furthered, but I know that all things are working together for good to them that love God. The gospel is going forward, totally going forward. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name which is above every name. And our citizenship is in heaven. We are subject to him. Oh, listen, it doesn't matter what people do. The gospel is going forward. The gospel is going forward in every situation. Did you know in Paul's day, in Philippians, he's writing to them, and he says, the saints salute you. They salute you, the saints, and all that are in Caesar's household. There's been a move of God. Paul has been, he's thrown in jail, and he's tied to a Roman soldier for 4 hours a day. Well, the gospel is going forward. Paul is preaching to the Roman soldier. And you say, that's a bit silly. No, did you know, I have a friend in India, a pastor in India, and he was thrown in jail on trumped up charges. Well, he was thrown in jail because he was Christian. And what happened? He started preaching the gospel. And so many people got saved that the authorities let him loose because he was too dangerous. They let him loose. People, too many people getting saved. Yeah. And so whatever your situation, believe that the Lord is going to work for his glory. Work for his glory. Hallelujah. Absolutely. The saints in Caesar's household. Philippians chapter 4. And I read this, and we'll bring this to an end. Philippians 4, verse 22. All the saints salute you. Did you hear that? All the saints salute you. Where are these saints? They are in Caesar's household. That was the worst place in the world. It was so perverted. It was filled with depravity at the very heart of the Roman Empire. And there's a revival going on. Where do you work? Believe God for a revival to work, to happen wherever it is you work. Pray in the revival. Pray in the advance of Christ. Pray in the advance of the kingdom of God. Pray it in. Pray it in. Pray it in. Oh, yes. He's coming back, and he's going to change our vile body. Did you hear me? He's going to change our vile body. He's going to come back. We belong with him. Did you know he's coming back any day now? We belong with him, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. And he will change our vile body. And that is the gospel truth.